Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to each and every one of us this morning, that you'd bring peace, that you'd bring comfort. Father, that you'd also bring conviction in areas in our lives that we need to change. May thy will be done now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm glad to see you all here. And what I want to talk to you about is excuses. And hopefully by the end of the sermon, we'll have no more excuses. But, you know, I was thinking about since we've started the new year and in the first week, I talked about self-control and how we all need self-control in different areas of our life. The next week, I talked about seeking God first. So we need to have self-control. We need to be seeking God first. And today what I want to talk to you about is no more excuses. Okay? We need to have no more excuses in self-control and seeking God first. And so, I want to start off in Genesis chapter 3. And what I'm going to do is talk to you about many of the excuses given throughout the Bible. And if I wanted to give you all of them, we would be here all day. So I just tried to highlight some, beginning with Eve in Genesis 3, verse 11. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree I ate." So I said Eve, we'll start with Adam. Adam saying, "You know what? This woman that you gave to me gave me that fruit." It's an excuse, right? He didn't take personal responsibility for what he had done. It's an excuse. "This woman that you gave to me has caused me to do this." And how many men today are still doing that same thing? "Well, this woman caused me to do it. Well, she made me. She did this. She did that." And we blame our wives. We blame some woman at the store. We blame somebody else. Then the Lord said to the woman, verse 13, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Who's she blaming? The serpent. "It was the serpent that deceived me, Lord. Not, God, you commanded me not to eat of that tree, and I disobeyed, but no, the serpent deceived me." And when I think about all of us today, and what I see is how many of us are still saying that we're casting the blame at someone else. We've got excuse after excuse after excuse. Now, if you want to go with me to Exodus chapter 3, and I was thinking about Moses. And kind of a different kinds of excuses here, okay? Eve and Adam both sinned and they gave excuses. But Moses, he had an excuse for why he just didn't want to be obedient and do what God was commanding him to do. In Exodus 3, verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.'" How many of us, and I see it all the time, and we may not confess it, but we believe it. "Who am I? How can I do anything? How can I witness to somebody? How can I serve God? Who am I to do this?" But God's telling Moses that "I'm going to be with you." Now, do you think it's any different today? If God gives us instructions, if God gives us something to do, He's going to be with us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. But I believe that many of us are saying, "Who am I?" We doubt, and doubt brings up excuses. Have any of y'all ever doubted something so you make an excuse so you don't have to do it? You know, I've done it. I think we've all done it. Because when we have doubt, then we're looking for an excuse not to do it. He's saying, "God, who am I?" Then jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" More excuses. "But Lord, what if they don't believe me? What if, and how many of us play that game? But God, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't trust me?" We play that game and it leads to more and more excuses. The doubt, the insecurity, and the "what if they don't trust me?" And we stop and we make excuses and we justify ourselves by those excuses, jump down to verse 10 in chapter 4. We're going to read 10 through 17. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Excuse, right? Excuse. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Can I tell you something? That is many people today. We look at what we can't do. We look at what we're not good at, so we make excuses. We're not going to try. We're not going to do it. Because what if I'm laughed at? What if I can't accomplish it? What if I can't do it? I don't want to lose y'all this morning, but y'all, that is my heart often. I've shared with y'all before, but we got some new people here. When I was a little kid and used to go to church, I hated to go to church. You know why? Because in children's church or Sunday school, they would have us go around the table and read. And I was a terrible reader. And I was so embarrassed when it would be my turn to read, I didn't want to go to church. You know what? I'm still not a very good reader. And I still get embarrassed sometimes with the words that and how to pronounce them. And I'll ask Crystal, what do you think? And she'll tell me. And then I get up here and I don't pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Y'all, and you know what? I could use that and I could say, oh God, I'm no good. Let someone else stand up there. I can't. I don't have the ability. What if they don't believe me, God? What if they... I can't talk that well. We were talking about speech impediments. I was in speech from first grade to sixth grade. And there's still words today that I just have to... It's like my tongue doesn't work. It doesn't want to say certain words. How easy it would be for me to just say, God, I can't. Find someone else. Is there something in your life that you say, God, I can't? Maybe you're an excellent reader. Maybe you're an excellent public speaker. But maybe there's a one-on-one with people. You're just not any good. I don't know. We all have different areas of weakness and strengths in our lives. And the thing is, are we going to make an excuse when God calls us out? When God says, go. He says, now go. I will help you. I will help you speak and teach you what to say. You know how much better is it when you have somebody there beside you? You ever been facing a difficult circumstance, something hard, and you want somebody there with you? Your mom, your dad, your best friend, your husband, your wife, just someone there, you know, to be with you. He says, I'll be right there with you. But verse 13, but Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Excuse. Please, Lord, I can't. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. I've got that underlined, church. He is already on his way to meet you. Think about that. God already had the need being met. He was telling Moses, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, but I've already got help on the way. You know, sometimes I think we make excuses, and we never get going, so we don't even see the help God has for us. God already had made the provision. He was already on His way. Verse 15, you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if you were, if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. God sent him someone to help. The provision was already there. How many of us, We're standing back. We're full of excuses, and we don't want to just go forward. I want to go to Exodus 32 now. And so there was Moses and his excuses. God said, I'm going to send you Aaron to help. I didn't have my pages marked here. Exodus 32, verse 1, and here's more excuses. Okay, here's Aaron. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Have you ever had an excuse because it's just taken too long? You have no leadership or whatever, and so you make excuses and you try to begin to put your plan in place, and here these people are calling out. They're saying, we don't even know what happened to Moses. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioned it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. What? A cow! A gold cow! And he's saying, this is your gods now. This is who brought you up out of Egypt. Was that who brought him up out of Egypt? No. But sin and the delay and an excuse because Moses was no longer there. They no longer had who they thought that they needed to look to. So that all at once, sin enters the camp. Jump over to verse 19. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Do not be angry, my lord, Aaron said. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire and out came this calf. The excuse was, you know how prone they are to do evil. It's really not me. They're the ones that are so prone to do evil. And so I just threw it in the fire and out came this calf. Was that what really happened? No. Said he fashioned it with tools. This calf didn't just appear out of nowhere. But you know how prone they are to do evil. Excuses. Well, first there was a fear because Moses wasn't there, and they lacked the leadership that they needed for just a moment. They needed to wait. And y'all, sometimes in our lives, we just need to wait and not make any excuses about it. We just need to wait. Okay, now I want to go to Saul, and I'm really building this up for you guys because there's so many in the Bible that has made excuses. And I hope we can see in our own lives. And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And this was Saul. First Samuel 13, verse 7 says, some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. You see what was happening there? All the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offering. And Saul offered up the burnt offering just as he had finished making the offering. Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. See, Samuel was not supposed to do the burnt offering. He wasn't, it was only supposed to be the priest doing that, okay? And he says, what have you done? Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that they did not come, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." Fear. Excuse. Because he wasn't obedient because of fear. Y'all, how many of us, because of fear, were not obedient to God? You might say, what? Fear. God says, go to that person and ask them if they need prayer. What? I'm too scared. What if they look at me like I'm crazy? Well, fear. God says, go to church. What? COVID's out. Why am I going to church? God says, stay home and don't go anyway. What? God, we got fear everywhere and we let fear rule us. And here Saul let fear rule him. And he was disobedient. Let me read on. Verse 13, "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Y'all, there's so much right there in just those few verses. God says, you know what? I was going to establish you. I was going to do great and mighty things with you, but you were disobedient. You didn't do what I told you to because of fear. How many of us are missing out on blessings today because of fear? Because we're not doing what God's told us to do? I'm talking about really, really listening to God, really, really listening to the Holy Spirit, and then walking in obedience. And not making excuses, but this is happening, but that's happening, but this is going on, but that's going on. How many of us are truly following God and doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing? I want to go now to 1 Samuel 15, just a few chapters over, and Saul, and more excuses. Saul, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1 says, "Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children, infants, cattle, and sheep, camels, and donkeys." He's to go and utterly destroy, to wipe it out. Jump down to verse 7. "Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed." He wasn't obedient. He walked in disobedience. "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, I am grieved that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he set up a monument in his own honor and he has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul saying, I did what I was supposed to do. And Samuel saying, well, what is this that I'm hearing then? What is this that's going on? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Do you see what he says there? That he saved the best of the sheep and cattle for your God. Like, we're doing this for you. We're supposed to sacrifice to God, and we took the best for them. But they weren't following instructions. Verse 16, stop. Samuel said to Saul, "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul." Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel?" You look back at Saul's life, and he was a humble man. And he would have almost been not in the category of Moses, but he looked at himself as from a weak clan and everything. So he was very humble. The Lord had anointed you king over Israel. I lost my spot here. And he sent you on a mission saying, "Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" In verse 20 he says, "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of which was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal." Y'all, sometimes when we're so full of excuses, we're blind to when we're even disobedient. I don't see it as much in adults, but especially in little kids. Have you guys ever had a little kid that was like in trouble and they're like, "But I didn't do it. I didn't do it." And you know good and well that they did. And they almost lie so much that they convince themselves that they really didn't do it. They're so full of that. And Saul was so blind and he's saying, "But I did do everything right." Can I tell you something? When you make excuse after excuse after excuse and you're not obedient to God, it can lead you down a path to where you think you're being obedient when you're not. Does that make sense? He was so messed up in his head from his disobedience, from making excuses. Verse 22, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king.' Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them.'" Fear. Fear led him where he says, "I was afraid," and he compromised. Excuse, which leads to compromise, which leads to justifying yourself, and leads you down a path of destruction. He was afraid. So can I ask you this morning, what are you afraid of? What's your excuse that you're not obeying God completely? What is it in your life that has held you back, that you're saying, "I just can't, Pete. I just can't. I might lose my friends. I might lose my job. I might, lose my wealth. I might have to get a little uncomfortable. I might have to sacrifice God." So we've just got excuse after excuse after excuse. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And this is the parable of the great feast. "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied, 'A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first says, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. So what excuse do you have today? Eve says, the devil made me do it. Is that your excuse? Well, Satan's the one that did this. Adam said, my wife led me astray. She's the one that gave me the fruit. Moses says, I don't have the ability. Is that your excuse this morning, that I don't have the ability? Aaron says, you know how prone these people are to evil, and I was just following. Saul says, you didn't show up on time, God, so I was scared. For we did what we thought was best by saving the best for you and not following in obedience. What's your excuse this morning? What's your fear this morning? Go back to Luke chapter 9, and we're almost done. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. My understanding of this is that When I've heard this message preached before, and guys that I guess have a lot more knowledge than me was saying that what this man who was saying, let me go bury my father, is that the man's father wasn't dead. He was just saying, let me go back and take care of things till he does die. And that I think for many of us, we have excuse after excuse. God, I've got to work. I've got to earn a living. God, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And we have excuse after excuse after excuse. But really, many of us are looking back at the world. A man is not fit. What does it say? No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Have you guys ever been driving down the road and you reached in the passenger seat, passenger floorboard for something, and what happens? You do that and you'll run off the road, or you're leaning back and you'll do that and your car will go the other way. You don't keep going straight. Oftentimes when you're reaching for something, when you're looking back in the back seat at the kids hollering or whatever, because your eyes aren't focused on where you're headed and you get off path. And I think for many of us, we have excuse after excuse after excuse because we see what's going on in the world and we're chasing after that. Church, it's time that we stop making excuses. It's time that we start walking in obedience. You know, something, and I'm saying this, and I was really trying to decide whether I should say it or not. There was a football game with the New Orleans Saints, and I didn't click on the story. I'm trying not to read that. I just saw the headline, and it was something, I want to say like 100,000 fans had said that they'd go into quarantine for 2 weeks before the big football game if they would be allowed to go to the football game. That they'd go in isolation. They just wanted to go to the football game so bad. You know, we went to the basketball game Friday night, and there was a whole lot more people at the basketball game than there is here this morning. And you know, last week, my brother-in-law said, hey, what time's that men's meeting start? He said, man, I seen all those cars there. You guys got a lot of guys coming. I said, no. I said, that was volleyball practice. Isn't that sad? More people show up for volleyball practice than church. Where's our eyes? Where's our focus at? What's our excuse? You know, we'll spend more time playing catch in the yard, shooting baskets, whatever with our kids, training them to be excellent in sports that none of them are ever going to probably be professionals. None of them are ever going to make a living doing it. I'd be surprised. In the history of Mansfield, there's never been a professional athlete that I know of. There was a Dizzy Dean, lived down the road, if anybody remembers him. But so 1 in 100 years, do you think your child's going to be different? I remember a young boy that was Hayden's age, and his grandparents and everybody else talking about what a special athlete he was, and he was going places. Played through high school, and that was it. And we work and we train and we do all this with them for them to excel, so they can get cheered for at the basketball game, so they can make the winning shot, so they can score the winning touchdown, so they can get the sack on the quarterback, and everybody in the fans, all the fans in the stadium cheer. But we don't take 5 minutes to read them a devotional. We don't stop and get down on our knees and hold hands and pray with our family. And then we wonder why our world's so messed up and this next generation don't know God. Church, you can make all the excuses you want. And you're here this morning, and I'm thankful for that. But we know, and you know, there's more. There's more that God wants from each and every one of us. There's more that God wants from me. How many times do I allow laziness, do I allow idleness, do I allow whatever to get in the way? Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Is your excuse time, money, ability, laziness? Moses, I can't talk to anybody. I'm not eloquent with words. You know, Lord. I think for many, it's just laziness nowadays. We'd rather go watch a good movie than we would open up our Bible. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Church, I'm not meaning to be hard on you. But the reality is, the closer that we get to heaven, the harder things might get for each and every one of us. And the choices that we're going to have to make. And if we're not strong now, and it's easy for us to make excuses and not be obedient now, what are we going to do when times are really hard? What are we going to do when the rubber really meets the road, so to speak? Are we going to be able to stand firm? Are we going to be able to resist? No more excuses. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness for all the times that I've made excuses, all the times that I've been lazy and disobedient. I pray that you would forgive me, and I pray that you would forgive this church body. Lord, that we would begin to just focus on you and walk in obedience. Walk in what you've called us to be, and have confidence, Lord, knowing that you will be there to guide us. You will be there to protect us. You'll be there to direct our path. Father, may there not be any more excuses in any one of us, but may there just be a willingness. And Lord, I pray that no one would feel the condemnation this morning from Satan for all the times that we've blown it. For your word says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Father, I pray right now that we would confess our disobedience, that we would confess the times that we've allowed fear to keep us from doing what you've told us to do. The Lord, the times that we've allowed our inability, we think, to keep us from doing what you've called us to do. Lord, for whatever it is right now, that we would confess it as sin, that we would understand that we are forgiven, but from this moment on, we would begin to obey. So that someday when we stand before you, you will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, feel free to come up here and pray, and let's just stop making excuses, okay?
Oh Lord, you're beautiful, your face is all I see, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. I want to take your word and shine it all around, but first help me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek the crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. And I want to take your word and shine it all around, but first help me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek the crown, for my reward is giving glory to you.
Church, I want you to understand something too, that God's not going to give you more than you can handle in obedience. And you know, sometimes it's just beginning to take those little baby steps of obedience. And then he's going to lead you into it, okay? It's not tomorrow, next Sunday, you're going to be up here to preach, okay? It might be, but usually there's a process that God takes you for, and it's just him learning. Actually, it's us learning to trust him and him leading us, okay? And so I would challenge you this week, if you say, "Pete, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you're talking about. God's not been speaking to me to do anything. I've not been making any excuses." Well, then, so I encourage you this week, maybe start right now. Lord, show me something that I'm supposed to do and let me do it. Show me. It's funny because this church, it's you guys. You are this church, okay? And we want to be givers here. We're not building up the kingdom of Coop Prairie. We want to be givers, okay? And whatever you give, we try to funnel out. And it's funny because there's times that we'll go months and there won't be anybody to help. We haven't had any words or anything else. And it's like, "Lord, what's going on? Are we not being obedient to something?" And I'll begin to pray, "God, why has there not been anybody?" And it almost never fails when I start praying that within a few weeks, there'll be two or three people that need help, and we're able to help them in some way. That's just the way God works. And so, church, I challenge you. Say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And then have no fear. Have no excuses. And do it. You never know. You never know. Boy, I could keep you all here a long time telling you stories and testimonies of people that were just obedient. I heard this woman I'll make it real quick, okay? This is a cool story. The Lord told her to, there was this cashier that was so hateful and so mean. And the Lord told her to tell her that He loved her. And she's like, there's a long line behind me. I'm not going to tell this lady that you love her. And she's battling back and forth, And she said something along the lines like, you have a Father in heaven that loves you. And said the woman, just like, who this mean, hateful woman, just broke and began to weep. And it turned out that this woman had witnessed her dad murder her mom and then kill himself. And she had felt no love in her life. But this woman that was instructed to tell that woman that God loved her had almost the exact same testimony where she had witnessed her mom or dad. It's been years since I heard this. And y'all, God used that moment. She said it was crazy. She said the woman's like crawling over the line, hugging her, weeping. Said there's this line and everybody's looking at him like, you people are crazy. But God used that moment because she was obedient. Even when it didn't make sense, she was obedient. You just don't know what God can do when we're willing. And even when it's scary. I told y'all before, that one guy at work, God said, tell him how much I love him. I told him and he goes, okay. There wasn't any crying. There wasn't any tears. There wasn't any leading him to Jesus. It was, okay. He said, that's good to know. And that was it. That was the end of it. I don't know, y'all. I just felt like I was supposed to, so I did. Just leave it in God's hands and be obedient. Church at 6, I'm going to open up, like I said. If you're at home, pray around 6. If you're here, we're going to spread out. We're going to pray. However the Lord leads, you're welcome to come. If you stay home, that's fine too. But I know for me, I need to come up here to pray. And so 6 o'clock tonight and men's meeting this week at 6:30. I had to think about it a minute. And so y'all have a blessed week.